Gathering with the recitation of the Quran. This is the student of Masjid Hamza Habib. Allah, he started his hibs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for him and make it complete.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة أيحسب الإنسان أن لن نجمع عظامه بلى قادرين على أن نسوي بيانه بل يريد الإنسان ليفجر أمامه يسأل أيان يوم القيامة فإذا بلق البصر وخسف القمر وجمع الشمس والقمر يقول الإنسان يومئذ أين المفر كلا لا وزر إلى ربك يومئذ المستقر ينبأ الإنسان يومئذ بما قدم وأخر بل الإنسان إلى نفسه بصيرة ولو ألقى معاذيره لا تحرك به لسانك لتعجل به إن علينا جمعه وقرآنه فإذا قرأناه فاتبع قرآنه ثم إن علينا بيانه كلا بل تحبون العاجلة وتذرون الآخرة وجوه يومئذ باصرة تظن أن يفعل بها فاقرة كلا إذا بلغت التراقي وقيل من راق وظن أنه الفراق والتفت الساق بالساق إلى ربك يومئذ المساق فلا صدك ولا صلى ولكن كذب وتولى ثم ذهب به إلى أهله أن يتمطى أولى لك فأولى ثم أولى لك فأولى أيحسب الإنسان أن يترك به سدى ألم يك نطفة من مني يمنى ثم كان علقة فخلق فسوى فجعل منه الزوجين الذكر والأنثى أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى.
MashaAllah. Proceeding forward as well, we would like to invite Huzaifa Sajjad as well to also recite the Quran. When the little boys recite Quran, you must remember that these boys are ma'soom, they're sinless. So whenever they read from their tongue, the effect of the Quran that will have on our hearts will be immense. Because these boys, they haven't committed any sins. So whatever comes out from their tongue is pure. So when we listen, listen with attentiveness and listen with this, that the Quran will have an effect on my heart.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم آمن الرسول بما أنزل إليه من ربه والمؤمنون كل آمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله لا نفرق بين أحد من رسله وقالوا سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين صدق الله العظيم.
نصلي ونسلم على رسول الكريم أما بعد فقال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة وقال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم وما أبرئ نفسي إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي وقال الله تعالى في القرآن الكريم يا أيتها النفس المطمئنة ارجعي إلى ربك راضية مرضية فادخلي في عبادي وادخلي جنتي وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رب آت نفسي تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها صدق الله العظيم وصدق مولانا رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. The topic that is under discussion today is how to manage the urges and the temptations of one's nafs. So today is not going to be a lecture, it's more going to be advice and lessons. And the reason is that this topic needs to be broken up into sections. Number one is how to control the requirements and the urges of your nafs. This will come right at the end, how to control it. First, we need to summarize the whole topic very quickly. But this topic is a very in-depth topic and it has to do with a branch of Islam called Al-Akhlaqul Hasana, meaning good characteristics. In Islam, there are five branches: aqidah, beliefs; ibadat, your devotions; mu'amalat, your interactions; mu'asharat, your social etiquettes; and the last one is al-akhlaq, your characteristics. So these are the five branches of Islam. So this topic is to do with the last branch of Islam. That's why it needs an introduction. Then we can talk about the answer to this question. So the nafs, how to control the nafs. So what is nafs? What is nafs? It is loosely translated as desires, that our desires. But nafs is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within a person. It's an entity, it's a thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. In Surah Al-Shams, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he takes a promise by the nafs and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had installed it, had perfected it. So it's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And this nafs that every person has within him, this nafs encourages a person, prompts a person to do good, or it encourages a person to carry out evil. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. That we have inspired, we have given the ability to this nafs that it carries out good, and it can also carry out evil. So it's based on this nafs, whether we go to Jannah or we go to Jahannam. Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put within us the capacity to do good, and if we control our nafs, this entity, and we subjugate our nafs, and we tell our nafs that you're only allowed to do good, it is based on this subjugation, it is based on our controlling of the nafs, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to send us to Jannah. But if we have no control of it, and it does bad, it carries out bad, then this nafs will take us to Jahannam, because we will therefore carry out sins. That's why they say, "An-nafsu kat-tifl," that this nafs is like a child. If you don't control a child, he will do something harmful to himself. There's a candle burning, and the child is running towards it. What does every father, every mother do? Stops the child. Why? Because the child doesn't know what's good for itself. So it will just go that, ooh, there's something bright, there's something shiny here. So the child will go and try to touch that. Lest he knows, seldom does he know, it's a flame and he'll get burnt as a result. So the father stops him. The child will want to continuously eat chocolates and sweets and miss out all meals. But the parents control the child to say that, no, no, you have to eat some. You have to eat something, only then can you have this. Only then can you have this. If he carries on eating whatever he wants to eat, it will lead to harm. So an-nafsu kat-tifli, the nafs that we have is like a child. It needs to be supervised. It needs to be controlled. So this is in a nutshell what the nafs is. So this is the first part, understanding what the nafs is. It's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created within us, and it allows us to do good, or it tells us, prompts us to do evil. That's number one. From the evil that our nafs tells us to do, there are two types of evil that our nafs tells us to do. Number one is what they call in Urdu, hubbe jah or hubbe bah. Bahi guna or jahi guna. In English, it's called carnal desires. Those desires that are to do with your carnal self. That's one type of sins that your nafs can lead you to. And a second type of sins that your nafs can lead you to is the desire for fame, the desire for wealth, the desire to maintain your reputation and status. The second one, we won't be discussing it today due to lack of time. But the first one we will discuss. But briefly, the second one, status, reputation, the desire to maintain it. And this has got to do with pride, arrogance. And this is found in shaytan. The question comes that shaytan only did one bad thing. He was told to bow down to Adam alayhi salam, but he never bowed down. So why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala get so angry with him? It wasn't about the one sin, it was the type of sin that he did. The type of sin that he did, the quantity was small, but the severity of the sin was very, very extreme. And what's that sin? That he wanted to maintain his status. He wanted to show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that from everybody you created, I am the best, and everybody is inferior to me. Everybody is lower than me. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put him to the test and said that bow down in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, then his arrogance came in between, and he thought that if I bow down, I'll be inferior. So it's not possible that I'm inferior. So he rejected Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After rejecting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that now that you have cursed me, I will lead everybody astray. I will lead everybody astray. So he kept continue to make sins, continue to carry out sins. Why? Because he had this illness within him that he had desire for fame. He had desire to maintain his reputation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got very, very angry and made him from the cursed ones. This is all to do with the nafs. Shaytan had a nafs, and this nafs got the better of him. He didn't control his nafs. If he bowed down in front of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, he would have maintained that same status that he had before. And what was his name? He was known as Tawusul Malaika. Shaytan, Iblis, was known as the peacock of the angels, meaning from all the angels, the one person who was above them, who was exemplified, who was better, who was regarded as extremely superior, was Iblis, because he'd carried out the most devotions. But this hubbe jah, this pride, this arrogance, love for fame got the better of him and reduced him to the worst creation to have ever been created, the most cursed being. This is the second part of sins, that a person desires for fame. The first part that we're going to talk about today is hubbe ba, carnal desires. And this is extremely found in youth. So over here, the majority are youth, and we have those parents who are bringing up and rendering those children who are going through the youth period. And this is something very important. And this is when it comes to how to control your nafs. We're talking about bahi guna, carnal desires. Carnal desires is that anything that satiates the nafs, anything that pleases the nafs, our nafs goes towards it, our desire goes to it. We want those things. We want ease, we want comfort, we want to be pleased in whatever way we want to be pleased. And especially with youth, this is a very big problem. And youth doesn't just mean, when we say it's a youth program, people just think it's for the teenagers and for those who are 10 and underneath. Youth goes all the way till 40. That's your youth. After that is, that's when you regard it as now as a true adult, as a grown-up man, after 40. So this illness remains all the way till 40. And this illness is of not controlling your desires. What does he mean by not controlling your desires? A person from the opposite gender comes and we're unable to lower our gaze. We're on YouTube and an inappropriate video comes and we're unable to switch it off. In the darkness of the night on our phones, laptops, tablets, what we do, this is all desires. Girlfriends, boyfriends, all these things is to do with desires. And this captures a person. And this engrosses a person, and as this English saying says, love makes them blind. Love makes you blind. And this is something that almost nearly everybody is involved in, unfortunately. Unable to control the nafs. This is why Islam has stipulated marriage. If a person marries, then this won't happen. Another problem that's to do with the nafs, drugs. Those addictive things. Why is a person not able to abstain from it? Everybody knows the harms of cigarettes. Everybody knows the harms of drugs. Everybody knows the harms of alcohol. But people are not able to abstain from it. Why? Because of our nafs. Our nafs continuously prompts us and tells us to carry this out, carry it out, drink it. That's why in rehab they have a phrase called, he has relapsed. Meaning he was sober, he was on the path to rehabilitation, but he relapsed. He's gone back to his old bad habits. Why has he gone back to his old bad habits? Because of his nafs. So this is the nafs. The nafs is something that encourages to these two things. And the Quran makes mention of the nafs many a times, but the three verses that I quoted, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Yusuf, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam says that I do not exonerate, I do not free myself from the nafs, because the nafs encourages evil. This nafs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us, its default position is lawama. But sometimes when we don't adhere to the nafs only encourages evil. So sometimes you'll open the news and you'll see horrific things that this murderer, this person did this. And we all pondering to ourselves that, how did he manage to do this? How did he do this? Well, what was going through his mind? It's this nafs. When you don't control the nafs, like that child, when you don't control the child, what happens? It gets worse. Until it comes to such a stage where they reach the headlines of the news. Why? Because they never ever controlled their nafs. They were so accustomed to doing evil that evil became part and parcel of their life. That was all their life, to do evil, do evil, do evil. This is called nafs. Ammara, nafse ammara, that nafs that always encourages evil. You see some people that, how come they're always swearing? You tell them to come for salah, they never come for salah. You always see evil. It's because they have not controlled the nafs. The second types of nafs is a nafse lawama, the lamenting nafs. What does that mean? That when he does something evil, the nafs scolds him. He feels bad. And this is what most Muslims have. What's the proof of this? It's because if we didn't have a nafs that was lamenting after we had that session, our drug session, that bad night where we watched those things that we weren't doing, how come when we woke up we felt so guilty? This guilt is a good sign. Guiltiness is a good sign. So if we have friends, children, or anybody, and they're going through a difficult spell, but they have guilt of what they are doing, don't ever discourage them. Don't ever look down on them. Encourage them that this guilt, take advantage of this guilt that you are feeling. This guilt, like my Shaykh said, is a Allah knocking on your door that you need to change now. You need to change now. This guilt is very good. It's called nafs al-lawwama. Your nafs is still at that stage where it's discouraging you from doing evil. You did an evil, but it's feeling sorry. It feels bad that why did I do this evil? This is a very good sign. That's why they say in Arabic, at-tawbah to an-nadam. That tawbah, true repentance is regret. When you have regret, then you have repented to Allah. But when you have no regret, then you have not repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the second type of nafs, which the majority of all of us have. The third type of nafs is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyatuha nafsul mutma'inna, the tranquil nafs. That nafs which is always at peace. Which nafs is that? That nafs that always encourages to good. You'll notice some people that they stand in salah for so long, and we feel that how do they do that? They wake up for tahajjud salah and it's so easy for them. They open the Quran and they're reading and reading and reading, and it's so easy for them. In the month of Ramadan, they don't find fasting hard at all. 20 rakats taraweeh, they don't find it hard at all. Giving charity, optional charity, they give out so much money and they don't find it hard at all. They carry out so many devotions, but they don't find it hard at all. Why? Because it's very possible that their nafs has reached the stage that it's tranquil, it's at peace. It's always encouraging to do good. So, number one, we need to decide where our nafs has reached. Is it a tranquil nafs? Is it a nafs that after I do something evil, it laments me? I feel guilty. Or have I reached that stage where my nafs is always telling me to do evil? Whatever stage your nafs is, the key question is, how do I still control my nafs? If it's a tranquil nafs, how do I maintain it at that level? If it's a guilty nafs, meaning that nafs that always laments me, how do I maintain it and bring it to progression? And if it's a nafs that is encouraging to evil at all time, how do I take it out from this low level and put it onto the highest level? This is the question today. How do I control my nafs? The Quran is a book of guidance for everyone and for every single matter. So the Quran mentions the remedy in a beautiful way. It didn't just say that this is the remedy, this is the remedy, this is the remedy. It mentions a beautiful way. It mentions it in a story. And what's the story? The story is a very famous story of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was taken into the Azizul Misr, the governor of Misr. He was put into his house and he was rendered, he was looked after in his house. Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam had jamal, had striking beauty. He was very handsome, Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Very, very handsome. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam grew up, the Imra'atul Aziz, the wife of the governor, became infatuated, became in love with Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Now the first question is that, wait a minute, isn't this the same boy that she brought up? How could she fall in love with him? The nafs, it has no restrictions. Like the child, it will eat one chocolate, then the second chocolate, and you're like, I'm feeling full, how is he eating that much? But the child doesn't know anything better. He just knows that this is tasty. This looks nice. This is entertaining. That's why a child will run from here to here, here to here, up and down, up and down. And we get bored looking at him. Like, what's so exciting? But for him, running from here and going to there is a new adventure. And coming back is a new adventure. So he finds it entertaining. So he carries on and on and on. Why? It's adventurous for him. It's fun for him. Why? Because he has a nafs and it's not been controlled at this moment in time. So say when we don't control our nafs, things like this happen. So the wife of the governor fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Because beauty attracts a person. Beauty attracts a person. This is why from here we can understand why Sharia tells us to lower our gaze. Why Sharia tells our women to adorn the niqab. Why? Because women have natural beauty in their faces. They have natural beauty. So a man is ordered to lower his gaze. A man is ordered to lower his gaze. Same with the woman. The woman is ordered to lower her gaze. Why? Because when we see each other, what do we find attractive at first point? The face. That's why they call this the ashraful a'da. The best of limbs is your face, is your head. This is the best of things. Why? It has the most beauty on it. It has the most handsomeness on it. That's why we order to lower our gaze. We order to lower our gaze, both men and women. Why? Because if you don't lower your gaze, what's going to happen? Your nafs is going to start creating ideas that I wonder what she sounds like. I wonder what it is like talking to him. I wonder what it's like having a meal with her, having a meal with him, and it plays, 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 until it leads to zina, until it leads to fornication. How did it start? With the nafs. The nafs kept enticing you. It kept enticing you until you landed into that sin. So anyway, the governor of, the wife's governor fell in love with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And her mind became so occupied with Yusuf alayhi salam, so occupied. The only thing she thought that I need to fulfill my desires with Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. I can't control it anymore. And this is something that a majority of youth feel. Unfortunately, both men, girls and boys, they cannot control their desires anymore. But do you know why they can't control their desires? The answer is in this story as well. Yusuf, the governor, the wife's governor, was always in the company of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. So even if she tried to forget about Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, she couldn't. Why? Because she was always in his company. So if she tried to escape, she couldn't escape. And why our youth always succumbing to their desires? Because they are always in the company of this. They want to stop watching inappropriate things, but they still have this with them. This is still functioning at 12 o'clock at night. When the whole house is sleeping, the internet is still going on. So you're not removing yourself from the company of the social media. You're not removing yourself from the company of the friend, which starts off as a friend, and then you want to control your desires. It's not possible. It is very hard. So the wife's governor was always in, seeing Yusuf alayhi salatum. The more you see, the more you fall in love. The more you see, the more you want. So she wanted Yusuf alayhi salatum more and more and more, until a time came where she couldn't control anymore. So she made a plan. And what was the plan? That I'll call Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He will just think that it's my mistress, my master's wife calling me. She probably needs something. But she planned something. So she called Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. When Yusuf alayhi salam entered the past the first set of doors, she told someone to lock that door. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth set of doors, she locked all the doors until he entered her bedroom. And he just thought that it was something to do. I'm the worker here. I've got something. Maybe it's some. She got some task for me to do. So it's just an innocent thing. So she walked. He walked into the bedroom. She locked the bedroom. When she locked the bedroom, she tried to attract Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Quran mentions this. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. She told Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam that come here, meaning it's time for us to fulfill our desires. This is where the topic comes, how to control your desires. Look at the situation he was in. Allah save us all from such situations. All us in such situation where there's nothing preventing you from fulfilling your desires. So he was in the situation and everything was set. What did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? قَالَ مَعَاذَ اللَّهِ. The first thing Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did was he sought protection from Allah. He sought protection from Allah. Oh Allah, I seek protection from you. This is the first lesson, how to control your nafs. The first lesson, and whatever I'm saying, because as I mentioned before, this is a very delicate topic. It's a topic to do with tazkiyah. So a person who's an expert in this field knows this topic well. So whatever I am saying is not my words, it's the words of my teacher, my Shaykh, Hazrat Mawlana Muhammad Salim Dorat, Hafizahullah Ta'ala. He taught us all these things. I am just portraying the same message to you. I am just copying whatever he's saying and I'm mentioning it to you. Because it's a very intricate topic. It's a very delicate topic. Anyway, this is what happened. The first thing he did to control his nafs, he asked Allah to protect him. And this is what we need to do. We're going to sleep after Isha Salah. 10:30 comes. And then the idea comes, let me just see what's on YouTube. And in the back of the mind, you know what this YouTube is going to lead to. You know it's not going to stop there. 10:30 comes, 11 o'clock comes, you want to text somebody. And you know texting that person is not appropriate. It's not allowed in Islam. So the first thing to do when this evil thought comes in your mind, the first thing you should do is seek protection from Allah.
Because the only one being can help you, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whenever an evil comes in your mind, only one being can protect you, and that's Allah. So ask Allah for help. Say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم آمنت بالله ورسولي. Whenever an evil thought comes, then say this dua. What is the dua? أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. Then آمنت بالله ورسولي. Say this dua whenever an evil thought comes in your mind. That's the first thing Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam did. قال معاذ الله. Then he said, he told the governor of the wife's governor, إنه ربي أحسن مثواي. قال معاذ الله إنه ربي أحسن مثواي. He said that my Rabb Allah has granted me a very blessed, a very appropriate accommodation. A very appropriate accommodation, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted me great facilities. What does he mean by facilities? Meaning all types of facilities. I was abandoned from my brothers. I was kicked out from my brothers. I was thrown into the bottom of the well. From the well to the mahal, from the well all the way to the palace. Who brought me here? Allah. So when Allah has done this to me, how can I disobey Him? How can I carry out this action that is haram in Islam, that is not allowed? This is the second thing we need to do. That we need to think that when I'm going to go out to Trafford Center, when I'm going to go out to this place with this person, with this girl, with this boy, first thing I should think about that myself is that my Allah has been so kind to me that He's given me everything. I eat breakfast, but I don't read Fajr. I eat lunch, but I don't read Zuhr. I have tea time, but I don't read Asr Salah. I have supper, but I don't read my Maghrib and Isha. I have dessert, but I don't read my Isha. Despite me continuously disobeying Allah, Allah is so kind to me that He feeds me. And He feeds me the best of foods. He's given me a job. He's made me pass my GCSEs. He's helped me throughout my education. He's done so much for me. How can I disobey Him? How can I do something that displeases Him? When you continuously counsel yourself in this way, that I can't disobey Allah because He's been so kind to me, this will help you stay away from it. This will help you stay away from it, from the sins that you are carrying out. إِنَّهُ رَبِّي أَحْسَنَ مَثْوَايَ. Then again, what did he remind himself? إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. That verily the transgressors do not acquire success. So you need to tell yourself that even though in fulfilling my desires tonight, in fulfilling my desires in going out today, it may seem that I'm going to be satiated, I'm going to be fulfilled by myself, I'm going to be fulfilled, my desires are going to be fulfilled. But no, this is the beginning of a long journey. There was a program in which they called ex-drug addicts and all this to come talk about their previous life. And one thing that every single one of them said, that every time I had one, I always told myself, this is the last one. This is the last one. But it was never the last one. It was the first of many. So whenever you think yourself that, you know, I'll do it one more time, I'll fulfill my desires one more time, I'll do what I'm not supposed to do one more time, this is not the last time, it's the first of many. My Shaykh Hafidhullah Ta'ala mentions that every time you fulfill your desires, the urges of your nafs gets stronger. And the next time you want to do evil, the urge will be even stronger. So that's why those people, we were both in high school together. Fahim, we were both in high school together, and we noticed in year 7, everyone was innocent. Understand? Year 8, everyone was sort of innocent. Year 9, they tried the first time. They tried it the first time. By year 11, did it get better or worse? It got worse. Whereas when they tried it in year 9, those bad, evil habits, they probably thought that I'm just trying it, it's just fun. By the time they reached year 11, they were addicted. College, were they able to separate from those evil habits? But if you'd ask them every time they tried it, inshallah, I'm going to quit. Wallah, qasam, this is the last time, this is the last time, this is the last time. It's never the last time. As soon as you accustom yourself to an evil habit, it's the first of many. And it will continue. And these habits don't stop in your teens, 19 years old, and it stops. As soon as you've gone to 20, everything stopped. No. These habits continue all the way till 30, 40, 45. And then you have people who are called chain smokers. What does it mean, chain? It's a very nice name. It makes a lot of sense. What does it mean? Chain. What's a chain? Something that has lots of links. So the first time they smoked, it was one link. And they kept smoking. They kept applying links. So many links that it reached the age of 60 years old, and they're still doing it. Why? Because they thought it was the first and the last. It wasn't the first and last. It's the first of many. This is what happens. When you get involved in fulfilling your nafs, it never stops. This is what Yusuf alayhi salam reminded himself. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ A person who gets involved in bad habits never succeeds. He will never succeed in this world and never neither in the hereafter. إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ These are three very important advices of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Other advices of how we can control our nafs is, and this is the main way of controlling your nafs, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every single one of us with determination and willpower. Willpower, determination. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What they call in Arabic, mujahada. The ability to struggle. And every single person has done it, is doing it, and has to carry on doing it in whatever they want to achieve. Those of us who've been through the periods or, you know, the excitement of going to gym. When we first started, it was very fun. We used to go. But then it only lasted 2 months. Why? Because one day we woke up and we're like, who can be bothered today? We'll go tomorrow. And then that tomorrow never came and gym stopped. Those people who've maintained their gym career, what's made them maintain it? It's this willpower, determination. No, that I have to do it. I have to go. Whatever it may be, I have to go. Those people who are working, they have to wake up so early. So they are able to wake up early for work, but they weren't able to wake up for Fajr. Why? Because there was determination to wake up for work. So they were able to do it. Why? Because if I don't go for work, I'll get fired. If I don't work, where's the money going to come from? So they were determined that I have to do it. So they gone to work, even though some people do not even like their work. It's a headache, it's boring, it's tedious. But they determined to do it. They determined. They have their willpower. They're utilizing their willpower to carry it out. And they succeed. Whatever you want to do, you have to exert effort. You have to exert effort to achieve something. Even the rich people of this world, if you look at their timetable, it's mind-boggling. The time they wake up, exercise, everything they do to achieve something, they have to do it. So same if we want to achieve Jannah, then we have to control our nafs. How do we control our nafs? We have to use this willpower. That same willpower that wanted us to go sleep, but we forced ourselves to wake up and go work, we forced ourselves to go gym, the same thing we need to do is that when we want to carry out something evil, we need to force ourselves and stop ourselves from carrying out evil. Unless we don't force ourselves, we will never be able to abstain from evil. We will always continuously doing it. Continuously, it will be a habit. Will be habituated to these evil things. You have to use your willpower. You have to try as much as you can to abstain. What did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam do? After all this happened, what did he do? He ran for the door. As soon as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam realized what the Imra'atul Misr, what the wife's governor was trying to do, he ran away. He didn't stay there. He didn't allow it that, oh, it's not my fault, it's her fault. He used his willpower and he ran, even though he knew the door was locked. What lesson is Yusuf alayhi salam trying to tell us? That I will do as much as I can do to stay away from evil. The rest is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You also do this. You also try that, you know what, I am going to switch my phone off tonight. Every night I am going to switch the Wi-Fi off, no Wi-Fi, no internet. I'm try your best, how much ever you can do. You got a text message that meet me today, and you replied, no. No, I can't do it, I'm sorry. I can't do it anymore. That's you using your willpower. Keep doing it. What will happen? The door of success will open. What happened when Yusuf alayhi salam ran to the door? The door opened. A locked door opened. And Yusuf alayhi salam ran. First door opened, second door opened, third door opened. All the doors opened and Yusuf alayhi salam escaped from the evil desires, from the evil sin that he was about, that he was prompted to carry out. But he tried. He didn't just sit there and say, Ma'adallah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, astaghfirullah, 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 this is bad, this is bad. He just didn't do that there. Sometimes we get the habit that, oh, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, I'm getting bad thoughts again, astaghfirullah. No, what are you doing to overcome those thoughts? What effort are you exerting? This is what you're going to be rewarded on. You try, and Allah will help. Maybe not in the first instance, maybe not in the second instance, but Allah will help. Keep trying, keep trying, keep trying. My Shaykh always gives this example that two boxes enter the ring. Two boxes enter the ring. 12 rounds, 12 rounds, 10 rounds, how many rounds? 12 rounds? 12 rounds in a boxing match. So the first round, he completely lost. Second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, he lost all the rounds. So in the 12th round, for him to secure a victory, what does he need? A knockout. If he doesn't go for the knockout, he's lost, because he's lost all 11 rounds, so it's not possible that he's going to win on points. So what does he do in that 12th round? He tries. He was like, I've only got one way to success, to getting this heavyweight champion, to being the heavyweight champion, to retaining my belt. I've only got one way, and I need to go for the knockout. So he tries, he tries, he tries. But for 11 rounds, he lost. So sometimes this is the case with us. For 11 years, we try to get rid of our bad habit. But it's not meant for the 11th year. Your bad habit is going to get rid of in the 12th year. But Allah wants to see, do you keep trying? Like that boxer who managed to stay up on his feet for all 11 rounds. Do you manage to stay up on your feet? Do you keep trying to control your nerves? Keep trying. 12 years will come. 20 years will come by. But keep trying, sincerely try. And you will also manage to knock out your nafs. You will also manage to knock out shaitan, and you'll be able to control your nafs. You'll be able to get rid of these evil habits that you have. But if you don't try, if the boxer didn't try in the first round, he would have just stayed on the floor. He would have been thinking, I don't know, this one punches very, very hard. Forget it, it's no point. I can't go through 12 rounds like this. This is torture. I can't go through 12 rounds. I might as well just stay down. But if he decided just to stay down, he would never have become the heavyweight champion. He would never have maintained, retained his belt. But he tried, tried, tried. So when the knockout came, he was the champion again. This is exactly what we need to do. We need to continuously try, 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 try. And one day we'll be able to control our nafs, and we'll be able to suppress our nafs, and we will be able to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابُ وَقَدَّتْ قَمِيصَهُ. And all these things happened. Yusuf alayhi salatu ran. And at the end of the day, what did Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam? He went through prison, he went through hardships. 7 years in prison Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam remained. All these hardships Yusuf alayhi salam, but he controlled his nafs, and he bared, and he tolerated all the hardships. At the end of the day, what happened? Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was made the Azizul Misr. He was made the governor of Egypt. He succeeded. But what does Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam remind us after the whole story is done? وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ. That this nafs of mine always encourages to evil. So even though I have succeeded, I have managed to control my nafs, but I shouldn't become complacent. I might fall back. I might relapse. I might relapse and go into my old habits. So those people who manage to detach themselves from bad habits, don't become confident, overconfident that, Alhamdulillah, I'm safe now. No, no, there's a very high chance of relapse. So what do you need to do? You need to now learn how to maintain that control of your nafs. And how do you maintain controlling your nafs? two things. And what? And look at the series of Thursday bayans that we have. The first bayan was about good company. The second bayan was how to acquire authentic ilm. These two things help you control your nafs. This is how it ties in with the third topic. You will remain in good company and good environment. This will help you support your progression. But the moment you feel that, alhamdulillah, I no more have these bad habits, but you start hanging around with those people that still have those bad habits, what happens? You'll go back. Again, I asked Mahim, when we were in year 7, very innocent boys, but in year 11 they changed all of a sudden. Why? Because in their free time, who did they used to hang around with? They used to hang around with those people who had bad habits. So in year 7 they were very innocent. They're very innocent. And in year 11, you never ever hear anything innocent from their tongues. You never see anything innocent. Why? It's because friendship, company makes a person good. Company makes a person good. Sohbate bad ture will make you bad. And sohbate salih ture salih banai. The company of the good will make you good, and the company of the bad will make you bad. So to maintain this control that you might have, keep in good company. Number two, continuously remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worry about controlling your nafs and controlling how to rectify yourself. And for this, how to maintain control of your nafs, please everyone try to read this. I've left it at the donation box at the bottom, at the back. It's 6 or 7 easy points of how to maintain your nafs. It's called an easy prescription for spiritual rectification. Very easy points to remember. Number one, we need to refrain from every disobedience of Allah. Number two, perform all acts that please Allah. Recitation of the glorious Quran. Dhikr, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abundantly. Number five, adopt good company and good environment. And number six, make dua to Allah. Make dua to Allah. In the beginning, I mentioned a dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam taught us a dua of how to control our nafs. What did he say? Rabbi, aati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha. Oh my Rabb, grant my nafs taqwa. What did I say in the beginning? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. We have inspired this nafs to carry out good or to adopt taqwa, to acquire taqwa. So now ask Allah that, oh Allah, make my nafs such a nafs that always does good. وَزَكِّهَا, and cleanse it, make it pure from all types of evil, my nafs. Cleansing, this is called tazkiyah, this is called spiritual rectification. And this is the last point I'm going to mention for this topic. The best way and the most tried and trusted and most guaranteed way of controlling your nafs is to go by a spiritual doctor. Look, when your nafs, when you continue carrying out evil, this is a sign that this nafs is not feeling well. It is ill. It has some sort of bimari, some sort of disease. Now when we have an illness in our life, where do we go? To the doctor. We go to the doctor and we get an appointment and we try to mend ourselves, we try to cure ourselves through the instructions of the doctor. The doctor prescribes for us medication, we take those medication. After 2 weeks the doctor says, if you don't see any improvement, then come back and visit me and we'll try something else. Why? Because we're not feeling well and this illness is not going away, so we're worried about it, so we go to a doctor. So in order to remove our illnesses that are related to our body, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this system of going to the doctors and getting cured. So the similar manner, in order to remove the illnesses of your heart, of your nafs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also made a system. And what is that system? Is the system of going to a spiritual doctor. If I remember correctly, Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a confrontation in which Sayyiduna Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu made a slightly racist remark. Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu went to the spiritual doctor, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said that this is what Abu Darda said to me. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called him. The doctor called the patient. And he said that, is it true that you made this racist remark? So he said, yes, I made this racist remark. I made this remark and it was a mistake. The doctor diagnosed the problem. He says, you still have a quality from the quality of ignorance. You still have pride inside you. A spiritual illness. And then, the doctor gave the advice or whatever was needed. And as a result, the spiritual illness was removed, was cured from Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there were patients and the doctor. The doctor was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the patient was the Sahaba. They cured themselves from all evil traits until they became the best. They became the best. So this connection of connecting yourself to a spiritual doctor is of utmost importance. All our pious predecessors went through this. Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, I've heard this from my sheikh many times, that he used to go by Abu Hatim al-Sufi, if I remember correctly. He used to go by him. And he said, after going by him for 2 years, he says, لَوْلَا السَّنَتَانِ لَهَلَكَ النُّعْمَانِ. If it was not for 2 years by me visiting my spiritual doctor, Nu'man, Abu Hanifa would have been destroyed. Meaning my nafs would have destroyed me by now. Why? This going to the spiritual doctor and reporting what's wrong with you, it is something established from the Sahaba and it's something that has been maintained by all the pious predecessors. Where they go to their pious people and they say to their sheikh, they say to their peer that I have this problem inside me, that I tend to look at the non-mahram women, I do this, I swear a lot, guide me. And they prescribe medication in terms of advice, dua, try this out, try this out. And all these things facilitate them in order to control their nafs. With regards to how to find a spiritual doctor, then you have your Mufti Mudhakkir, who's also affiliated to a spiritual doctor. Get advice from him that who should I go to? Who should I connect myself to? It's not one of those peers that we are used to in the subcontinent. That dukan us waqt chalti hai jab tak mitai aati hai. That jab, until mitai comes, then the peer remains a peer. Until mitai stops, then there's no more peer sahab. We're not talking about those peers. Understand? Those peers that have hundreds of money and shower of cash coming on them. No, we're not talking about those peers. We're talking about those sheikhs that when you look at them, you remember Allah. When you look at them, you have the desire to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're talking about such pious people. Those pious people became pious. How? Through another pious person. Those pious people guided those people and made them pious. So if you want to become pious, get guidance from the pious. This is the only way, my dear brothers. But before we connect ourselves to the spiritual doctor, read this and try your utmost to benefit from this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the ability to control our nafs. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us successful in this endeavor. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyil ummi al-kareem bi rahmatika ya rahmar rahimeen. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله اللهم لا نحصي الثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وكفر عنا سيئاتنا وتوفنا مع الأبرار اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها اللهم لا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا اللهم قنا عذابك اللهم قنا عذابك اللهم ألهمنا مراشد أمورنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله اللهم إنا نسألك من خير كل عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كل عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل اللهم إنا نسألك أن تجعل كل قضاء قضيته لنا خيرا ورشدا اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين المسلمين والمسلمات سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا رحم الراحمين.